Our scripture reading for this evening that you can find in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet, the major prophet in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 16. The book between Lamentation and Daniel, Ezekiel 16, from 1 to 14. Here is the word of our God. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling cloth. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into the open field. When you yourself were loathed on the day you were born, and when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, Live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, Live. I made you thrive like a plant in the field, and you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, but you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was a time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothe you with fine linen and cover you with silk. I adorn you with ornaments, per bracelet on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was a fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate pasture, a fine flour, honey, and oil. You were exceedingly beautiful and succeeded to royalty. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed on you, says the Lord God. So, children and teenagers in our midst, what do you think if someone helps you with one, maybe, math question? You might think that person is a kind person, do you? Congregation, imagine that if you are now in stage 4 of cancer and you are dying, painful, hopeless, and helpless. You go to many hospitals and they all reject you, refusing to take you into treatment because your state is so terrible and miserable. However, at the very moment, a doctor comes to you, telling you that he can heal you, and he does heal you. Now you are alive without any sickness. then what do you think of that doctor who saved your life from a desperate and miserable situation? You will think that he is so great and so amazing that no words can describe his greatness. He makes you alive. Likewise, dearly beloved, in our text today, which you can find in Ezekiel, we just read, 16:1-14, the prophet Ezekiel shows us that the greatest one who delivers his people from the state of misery to a state of glory is our covenant triune God. And we need to always remember his wonderful and great work. Our theme today is Safeguard of Remembering. We will address this in 2 points. First, from verse 3 to 5, remember where God found us. Second, from verse 6 to 14, remember what God has done. So first point, remember where God found us. And second, remember what God has done. So the prophet Ezekiel proclaimed the word of God to those rebellious Israelites again, as we mentioned, we have seen this morning. They were taken captive and brought to Babylon because of their wickedness and disobedience. In chapter 16, God wants to show those Israelites their crimes through the mouth of the prophet in order to call them to grief and shame. Call them to grief and shame over them. As verse 2 states, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. However, interestingly, God here did not expose their sin very explicitly until verse 15. After verse 15, God just explicitly exposed their sin, but not now. What he did, he first recalled their history to show their nature. So in verse 3, God said to them, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. So here, birth and nativity can also be translated into the beginning or the habitation. So this verse brought them back to the history of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who sojourned in the land of Canaan before going to Egypt. God was reminding those prideful Israelites that they are no better than other nations. Those Israelites thought they are a very good person. They are the greatest nation. They thought they are the holy seed, the children of Abraham. But God was telling them they were Canaanites. Their forefather from Canaan. Their birth and nativity were in Canaan. Nothing in their nature could be boastful. And furthermore, God said that Israel's father was an Amorite and mother an Hittite. So here, we should interpret this metaphorically. It could mean that their father and mother, as John Gale said, properly speaking, namely Abraham and Sarah, were Gentiles. However, in a deeper meaning, God's word shows the wickedness of the Israelites by their actions. They proved themselves as the very children of the idolatrous nation. Israel imitate the nations in their worship, fashions, and practices, and even worse than other nations that you can find in Ezekiel 5:6. God speaks to them, they're worse than other nations. So it reminds us about the verse in John 8, isn't it? The Jews said they are the children of Abraham, but Jesus said they are not. Rather, their father is the devil. So therefore, in verse 3, God told those Israelites, those rebellious people, that they are no better. They're no better than other nations. Their pride is vanity because their origin was from Canaan. And they are the children of an abominable and idolatrous nation. Again, how tragic these Israelites were. Their eyes were blind and their hearts were hardened. They cannot see their wickedness and they forgot their miserable origin. However, dear church family, are we not the same? Whether you are now a believer or not, we are in this state. Our origin is the same as these Israelites. In Romans 3, the Bible describes so well that all people are under sin. All have sinned. No one is excluded. You and me, our origin is miserable because we were born as sinners. We were in the state of original sin. And children, young people, it is a blessing that if you were born into a godly family. However, your godly parents do not mean that you are godly and sinless. Just like those Israelites, they boast out for their forefather Abraham. They think they're the best nation. Your godly parents do not mean you are godly or sinless. Every one of us is totally corrupt at the moment when we were conceived and born. Every one of us is like what David speaks in Psalm 51 verse 5. I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. No one can be boastful and prideful because our origin is miserable. And furthermore, as we continue to see our text, not only our origin is miserable, but also our state is miserable. We read the following verses 4 and 5, and we can see this picture of an abandoned female infant, uncared, unclean, unclothed, and going to perish in this miserable state. And moreover, no one had compassion for her. She was cast out in the open field. What a wretched state she was in. Can that baby call others to help her? Can that baby take care of herself? No. She has no ability to do that. She was a baby, abandoned baby. She was hopeless, helpless. She is in such a miserable state, being weak, helpless, hopeless and waiting for death. This picture of an abandoned baby is an allegory that describes Israel. From the time when Abraham was called out until the time when they were under the rule of oppression of Egypt, they were just like an abandoned baby, infants. No one cared for them. No one pitied them. They were in such a miserable state. However, dearly beloved, this is also our miserable state by nature. By nature, we are not only conceived and born in sin, but also we are always by nature in the state of misery. No matter whether you are now a believer or not, by nature we were or are cast out from communion with God. No one cares about us. The world does not care about us. By nature, we are all filthy. We were clothed with filthy rags. We were naked in the sight of God. By nature, we are just like this abandoned baby, having no ability to do anything good. On the contrary, Heidelberg Catechism question 13 says very well, we daily increase our debt. Unless God's gracious hand touch us, we are unaware of our misery. Just like the baby who lies senseless in the condition and perish in it. This baby cannot see her condition. We know that she's helpless, hopeless, but she cannot know. She's just dying. She cannot be aware of her very miserable state. How tragic sinners are. Dear friends, without Christ, all sinners are in this miserable state, filthy, uncared, uncontrollable, senseless, and condemned by God. By nature, we all do not know that we are in such a miserable state. If you are now true believers, you should know what you were in this state. And without God's grace, you would be always in that state. And for those who are not in Christ, you are now still an abandoned baby unless God's saving hand touch upon you. Dearly beloved, you must remember where God has found you. He did not find you in a good position. He did not find you when you feel so good. He found you when you are needy. He found you when you were an abandoned baby, miserable, and helpless. This is the safeguard that you should remember. Because you know that it's not because of you. There is nothing good in you. Nothing can merit you for the salvation, but only in Jesus Christ, who freely give grace and deliverance. However, is that enough for you to remember how miserable you are? We are? It is not enough to remember how miserable we are, isn't it? We also need to remember what God has done for us. as filthy sinners. And this is our second point. So from verses 6 to 14, we will see the greatness of the Lord, that He powerfully delivered the Israelites from a miserable state to an honored state. I will show what the great God has done for His people in 6 points here, according to our text. So first, He is a great God that He speaks. So in verse 6, we read, "And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you in your blood, live." What a comforting sentence. God was reminding those rebellious people that they were in such a wretched and miserable state, but God Himself spoke to them, live. When they were under the oppression of the Egyptian and were perishing in that estate, God gave them life when she is about to perish. God is the author of life. He gives life, both physical life and spiritual life, according to His power and His will. He is the mighty one, that whatever He speaks, that will be done. When God speaks live, then they must live. Nothing can prevent it. Nothing can hinder this free grace. Dearly beloved, do not think that you can charm God with your own ability. No, there is nothing in the creature to move God to show mercy, because God saw us as an abandoned baby polluted in her own blood. Don't think that you can earn the salvation. No, He caused sinners to live according to His will, His free grace. He called Abraham when he was among idolaters, and called Paul when he was a persecutor of Christians. Yet, God set His heart upon them, showed them mercy, and said unto them, live. So today, God is still doing this, speaking to those who are needy, who are in the desperate condition, through His Son Jesus Christ. Whosoever hears His word and trusts His Son Jesus Christ can have this eternal life, because He speaks through the word, live. What a great God who speaks. Second, He is a great God that He causes. So in verse 7, we see the picture that God causes Israel to grow and preserve her. Even under the bondage of Egypt, God caused her to multiply, to be fruitful. What a powerful God we have. He causes the flower to grow, causes your hair to grow, and causes rain to drop. He is the sovereign God who controls everything. Oh, dear friends, do you see this great God? If you do not believe in this triune God, you should be fearful. The work of nature is caused by Him and speaks His glory. So children, I believe you see snow a lot, especially in Michigan. When you see the shape of each snowflake, you will find out there's so many different kinds of shapes. Even that God caused it. Is that amazing? Is our God a great and powerful God? And moreover, dear believers, you should have great comfort from here. So when God speaks, live, He does not just cause you to live for a while and He just leave you there. No. He will preserve and cause you to grow spiritually until the time of perfection when you see your Lord face to face. He is a faithful God who causes and preserves everything. And third, He is a great God that He bonds. He binds us. He bonds. In verse 8. In verse 8, we can see this such a beautiful picture. So the allegory has shifted its image from an abandoned infant to a grown woman. And the Lord graciously changed her relationship from a Canaanite to His bride. He bonds her as His own bride. This is indeed the picture of Israel. God delivered them from the bondage of Egypt through His servant Moses and entered into a covenant with them in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. And also, dear believers, this is also a picture of all of you who are truly believers in Jesus Christ. God Himself enters into a covenant of grace toward you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Just as Moses is a mediator between God and the Israelites, Jesus Christ is the true mediator between God and sinners. Now, your relationship with God is restored and secured in Jesus Christ. And now He is your husband. He gave His life for your salvation. And you have such a union with Him so that you can have all benefits because you are in Him. And you are His peculiar people. In Titus 2:14, we read, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." How beautiful it is. Our God is a great God who bonds. And fourth, He is a great God that He cleanses and consecrates. So in verse 9 we read, "Then I washed you in water. Yes, washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil." One commentator said, "This is a picture of God cleansing them in the Red Sea and with legal washings, and consecrating them by the oil to the Lord so that they should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So dear believers, you are also all cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. All of your filthy rags, all of your filthy sins from the past, from now, and in the future are forgiven and washed away. And you are continuously sanctified more and more with the graces of His Spirit. What a great God who cleanses and consecrates. And fifth, He is a great God who provides. From verse 10 to 14, we can see a picture that a loving husband, newly married, and he makes great provision for her. He provides her beauty with all beautiful clothes and jewel, provides her food and wealth, provides her high statues and renown. It was a description of Israel before. All nations admire her beauty, and they faintly fear her. God provided Israel with such honor and glory. Likewise, today, God still provides for His people. As it is said in Heidelberg Catechism, question 26, He will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. Moreover, as Jesus Christ is the husband of believers, He continually pours out heavenly graces upon all His members, and also defends and preserves all His people against all enemies by His power. And He will finally bring you unto glory. At that time, He will provide you with a place where has no sin, no tear, no afflictions, and no pain. What a great God who provides everything for His children. Lastly, He is a great God that He initiates. Now let's look at these verbs from verse 6 to 14. To see how beautifully they are. There are many verbs. I passes. I saw. I said. I made. I looked upon. I spread and covered. I swore unto you. I entered into. I washed. I anointed. I clothed, I adorned, and I put. How beautiful they are, that it is God Himself who initiates the deliverance of the Israelites. An abandoned baby cannot do anything. The Israelites cannot do anything to save themselves from the bondage of it. From the Egypt. If God Himself did not initiate His grace and mercy on Israel, they would have been perished long ago. However, God saw the misery of Israel. He had compassion for her and caused her to grow. He delivered them by His own power and entered into covenant with her. How beautiful this was. God today also initiates a deliverance upon us as filthy sinners. Can any believer sitting here today say that it is I saw the God and caused Him to save me? Can anyone dare to say this? It is I saw God. I believe in Him. I caused Him to save me. No, I don't think anyone could say and dare to say this because we know what we were like. Without Christ, without His grace, we were all abandoned babies in misery and cannot do anything. Dear believers, it is God Himself who saw your misery, who saw your need, and touched you with His fatherly hand so that you can now see your filthiness. You can now see your miserable state and then drive you to Christ, to Christ. It is God who saw your filthiness and yet was willing to adopt you as His own. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. His greatness is unsearchable. He is the great God who speaks, who causes, who bonds, who cleanses, who consecrates, who provides, and who initiates. Dearly beloved, remember what God has done for you. As I close the sermon today, I have two questions to ask all of you. So first, I want to ask those who already received Jesus as your Lord and put trust in Him. So what would you do? What are you doing now that you know that God has delivered you from the miserable state? And He's still taking care of you and still providing for you. What would you do? Will you live to Him and for Him with gratitude? Just like the structure of Heidelberg Catechism. First, the miserable state and deliverance of Christ. And then live with gratitude. Will you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God? Will you endeavor to die to your sin and live unto Christ according to His word, because He is your Lord who has delivered you from that miserable state? Your Master, He is your Master, your Lord, your Heavenly Father, your God, who claimed you as His own? Or were you should examine yourself, will you be the same as these Israelites? From the following verses, you can see this same chapter, from 15 to the end. They responded to God's grace and mercy with ingratitude, being a whore, a fornicator, and an idolater. They abused God's grace. God delivered them from bondage. God gave them the honor, but they went back to that bondage again. They despise God's name. They profane the covenant. They did not obey the word of their father. But on the contrary, they follow the world and worship other idols. Dearly beloved, if you are really a believer of our Lord Jesus Christ, You need to know. You must obey His word and live to Him. Not just like Pharisees to follow the rules, but you must be motivated by the love of Christ with gratitude. You do these, you do the will of God because of gratitude, because you were delivered by His grace. You love Christ, so you do not want to grieve Him. You love Him. You want to live to Him. Children, just like when you love your parents, you don't want to grieve them. You are obeying their commandment, not because of you have to, because you love them. Because you love them. You need always, dearly beloved, you need to always examine yourself. As Paul speaks in Galatians 5, if you are truly in Christ, then you will and you must walk in the Spirit. Instead of fulfilling the lust of your flesh, if you are now still enjoying sins, enjoying indulging your flesh instead of following His word, then you might need to ask yourself, am I truly a follower of my Lord Jesus Christ? Do I really love Him? This is a serious question. And second, I want to ask those who still do not believe in Jesus. Again, you have heard gospel preaching to you thousands of times, but you still harden your heart just like Israelites. As I mentioned in the morning, they just harden their heart. And you do not want to surrender yourself to Jesus. Dear friends, this picture is describing you, an abandoned baby, helpless and hopeless, and you do not, you yourself don't realize that you are in that miserable state. You think you are fine, maybe. You think you have good reputation, you have money, but actually you are in this miserable state, like this abandoned baby, perishing. Perishing in eternal hell. So, dear friends, do you really want to perish? Do you really want to perish? So, today the gospel is preached to you again, freely. God speaks to you through His word. Today, this evening, do you see your miserable state? Do you believe that Jesus Christ alone can deliver you from this miserable state to a glory state? Do you see the greatness of this great God? Dear friends, come to Christ, believing Him by faith. He will fulfill your need with Himself. He will provide you peace and provide for you every spiritual need. He will give you great honor and glory and the eternal life, because He is the great God who found sinners when they were in misery. And also, He did great things upon those who are needy in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, the most merciful and gracious Father, Lord, it is thy mercy that in Christ delivered us, delivers needy sinners in Christ from the darkness to the light, from the miserable state to honored state. Thou hast given those sinners victory through thy Son Jesus Christ. So Lord, once again, lift up our eyes upon Jesus Christ. When we see our sins one time, help us to see Jesus Christ 10 times. Help us to see His glory, His saving power, and help us to live with gratitude, to live with gratitude unto Thee. And Lord, also, give grace to those who are still like abandoned babies in their miserable state. Lord, help them to see their needy conditions. By their nature, we cannot see our miserable nature. So Lord, please illuminate them by the work of thy Spirit. Show them their need for Christ. Lord, help each of us to live to thee. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.